See you later.
Hey Chiefs fans, welcome back to another edition of Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. Today we continue our quest to keep you in the know this offseason as we take a look at what's up in the Chiefs kingdom. Coming up, remember the NFL commercial that ran in Super Bowl 47?
Being for the combine?
Name?
Leon Sandcastle.
Well, Leon Sandcastle is at it again. We take you behind the scenes as Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Leon Sandcastle, makes a trip to KC.
Great seeing you, Leon.
You doing all right, Leon?
Yes, sir.
Plus, I chat with Chiefs offensive coordinator Doug Peterson about his new role as an OC, working with Coach Reed, and settling into the Kansas City community.
First thing we had to do was evaluate our own talent. We had to see what was here with the Chiefs, and we're really excited with the guys that we have, and we're juiced up to get in here and get them going April 1st.
And we catch up with the one and only Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye.
It feels good when you have the ball and you know the guy in front of you is way smaller than you and he's ducking. I mean, he's scared and his eyes are big and he's just sitting over there. Then you just look ahead, look past him because you're going to run him over and move on.
The Nigerian Nightmare has got to be one of the best all-time nicknames ever given to a player. But as cool as Okoye's nickname is, would you believe that former Chief Return Man Dante Hall has two awesome nicknames? Whether you prefer the human joystick or X-Factor, the plays that Dante Hall was able to make during his career were ridiculous. Earlier this offseason, we had a chance to visit with Dante at his home in California. Take a look at what we learned as Dante himself takes us through some of the most electrifying plays of his Chiefs career.
Up the left side, 35-40.
Explodes to the 40. He might do it.
Dante Hall's going to do it again.
At this point, oh my God, I just knew we were kind of stalling our offense, and I just went back to the backyard days of football.
Looking to try to get to the outside. He's in trouble, surrounded. Now he gets to the left side.
And this is one of the runs I'm telling you about. You can hear the roar. Go back, and I'm shaking and doing all this dancing around. The minute I broke left, I knew that was the correct way to go because the crowd just went crazy.
The human joystick with the touchdown, Kansas City!
That run, wow. You talking about rolling the dice? That's rolling the dice, putting the house on the line, the baby, the wife. You putting everybody on the line rolling the dice because big game, and I just broke about two or three special teams rules that you just do not do. Thank God it worked out for me. I'm getting a hug right now, but I could be getting slapped right now if we went the other way.
Taken by Hall at the goal line. Up the left side, 15-20, burst of speed.
This is just great blocking right here. I can't take any credit for this. I mean, look, I'm just running. And I think I made one guy miss in the hole and a kicker that tried to karate kick me in my shins. But other than that, I don't see any yellow. That's one of the times I'm telling you that just great blocking, great call, too, on that particular one. Can't give myself much credit on that. Oh, this one. Okay. The playoffs. I remember at this point just being pissed off. I'm mad. Why are we getting beat at Arrowhead? Nobody has punted. And I just hit it with everything I had and knew we needed a big play, and I was so in tune on that run. Eye awareness, alertness to what was going on, and watch me spike it. See right here when I spike it, like, are you kidding me? We in Arrowhead getting beat like this? That's what that spike was about. I didn't even throw up the X on that one. I always throw up the X. You kidding me? And on that return, the loudest I've ever heard Arrowhead, that return right there. That was the loudest I have ever heard Arrowhead in my life. If I could go back and just put that in a bag or some type of bottle or something, bottle that moment up, oh, it'd be awesome.
As you know, there are a lot of new faces here at One Arrowhead Drive, all working tirelessly to lay the foundation for an exciting 2013 season. We caught up with the new offensive coordinator, Doug Peterson.
We'll be right back.
I'm with Chiefs offensive coordinator Doug Peterson. Doug, you've worked with Coach Reed as a player and as a coach, but how is it different working with him now in Kansas City?
Well, I'm a little more, in the mix as a coach, especially as a coordinator. Coach Reed and I have a great relationship, great working relationship. I feel like our strengths and weaknesses kind of bounce off each other. You know, it's something that we look forward to working together, you know, as head coach and coordinator this season.
You were a quarterback in the NFL for 12 years. How does that give you an advantage as an OC?
One thing as a quarterback, you have to know all your positions, and you have to know what every player on the football field or on the offensive football field is doing. And, you know, it's so important that not only are you understanding what they're doing, but schematically you have the answer for anything that comes up during a football game. And I feel like as a coordinator, that's what you have to do. You have to be that quarterback on the sideline, and you have to put your team in the best possible play, best possible situation on game day.
You've had a lot of experience coaching, but this is your first time as a coordinator. So how have you seen your role change?
Well, the biggest thing is now I'm evaluating the entire offense. You know, in the past it was just the quarterback position, or maybe looking at running backs, one or two different positions. Now it's looking at the entire thing and putting together the entire offense and working with the tight end coach and the running back coach and the quarterback coach and the receiver coach and O-line. And that's the fun part about what I like doing. And that's why coaching is so fun for me, is the chance you get to work with all these great people, these great minds. But yet, at the end of the day, it's you put your stamp on it and you go play and hopefully you do the best.
Now, there's always a lot going on at Arrowhead, but how busy have you guys been this offseason?
It's been extremely busy. You know, the first thing we had to do was evaluate our own talent. We had to see what was here with the Chiefs, and we're really excited with the guys that we have. And we have to put together our offense. We got to put together our philosophy. We have to put together our scheme. And so the last couple of weeks have been kind of knocking that out.
Now, stepping back from football, tell me a little bit about your family. I know you have three boys, and you just made the transition to Kansas City. How are you settling in?
Great. I'm here, and they're back in New Jersey. But, you know, our oldest is going to go play college football at Samford University down in Birmingham, Alabama. So we're excited about that challenge and that part of his life. And then my wife, we have a 15-year-old, a freshman in high school, and a fifth grader. And my boys want to be out here right now, you know, and my 15-year-old's a golfer, and he wants to come out and golf and get involved. And we're just really excited and eager to get going and get out here.
Coming up, we connect with Chiefs Hall of Famer Christian Okoye.
I tell you, when Marty came in town, he says, "Christian, I want you to be prepared. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to run it a lot. All I wanted is hand me the ball, and I'll run it as many times as you want." I loved it.
Then, Leon Sandcastle recently spent some time at the University of Kansas Hospital Training Complex. Stay tuned to find out what he's doing in Kansas City. Time to test your knowledge with some trivia. When was the longest game in NFL history played? A, Thanksgiving 2001, B, Monday Night Football, October 7th, 1991, C, Christmas Day, 1972, or D, Opening Day, September 7th, 1980. When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs. Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365. Before the break, we asked you, when was the longest game in NFL history played? The answer is C, Christmas Day, 1972. The Chiefs lost that game to the Dolphins, but to this day, it remains the longest game in NFL history. Welcome back. Ask anyone who knows the Chiefs, or the NFL for that matter, and they'll tell you that this franchise is one of the most known and loved in the world of sports. Of course, the incredible players that have been a part of this team are a huge part of why that fact rings true. For example, who doesn't hold a place in their heart for running back Christian Okoye?
Okoye means being born on a Sunday. Coming from Nigeria, I was a track and field guy. 1982 was the year that I went to Azusa Pacific in California. Went there on track and field scholarship. was training real hard to be in the 84 Olympics. And when 84 Olympics came around, Nigeria didn't pick me, so I was heavily disappointed. Looking for something else to do because I was just sick of it. If I can't go to the Olympics, you know, why be in track and field? I decided to play another sport. Soccer was a game that I really loved, but I was too big. You know, I couldn't play soccer anymore. My friends had been bugging me to play football. I went to the football coach's office and asked him, can I play? And he said to me, he says, okay, what position do you want to play? You know, I didn't know anything about the game. I kind of thought, I didn't know what to answer. And then, but I remember watching the Raiders play against Redskins earlier that year in 84 when Marcus Allen reversed the field and ran 76 yards and scored. So I asked him, I said, I saw this run and, you know, who was that and what position was that? He said that was Marcus Allen and he was playing running back position. I said, that's what I want to play. When I first was drafted, coming from a small school, many people were saying that Christian Okoye is a project. I think the Chiefs saw something in me to trust that I'll do well. When you're running the ball, you have a goal to gain yards, not to lose yards. Each time you touch the ball, that's what I had. If I'm going to have a bad run, let it be only 2 or 3 yards. When I hit a hole, I want to make at least 4 yards. So that's my goal every time when I was playing. I remember one time we were in Seattle. We were on the 11-yard line, getting ready to run the ball. I was going right. You know, everybody was pulling left. I said, I've already taken 2 or 3 steps. So I came around. And, of course, nobody was blocking by the time I got the ball. But I still scored a touchdown and ran over 8 guys. That was my best run.
Hand off Okoye. He's past the 10. He's past the 5. He chucks it. Touchdown. Unbelievable. An incredible run by the Nigerian nightmare.
Yeah. You're getting in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
100%?
Yeah.
Good.
Christian!
Keep it up. Keep it up. Okay. Get down. Get your pads down and make a hole for Israel.
I tell you, when Marty came in town, he says, Christian, I want you to be prepared. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run it a lot. I was happy because I haven't played football for very long. You know, so I knew that I can go and study all the defenses and try to see what safeties are doing and so on and so forth, line up outside as a receiver. I couldn't do that. All I wanted is hand me the ball and I'll run it as many times as you want. And they did, so I loved it. Marty Schottenheimer was big. Coming from Nigeria, I left my family. When you're a young kid growing up, you always need your father, you need your parents, you need somebody to look up to. But coming to Kansas City Chiefs, and having Marty here, and the things that he will say to you in the meeting rooms and before games, and, you know, it kind of hit home. You know, sometimes when players will go through their careers, they tend to live by the things that their coaches say to them. The things that you said in the meeting rooms meant so much to me, Coach, and I love you for that. Thank you so much because you are number two guy in my life, apart from my dad, that I learned from. So thank you so much. It feels good when you have the ball and you know the guy in front of you is way smaller than you and he's ducking. A lot of times when you're coming through the hole and see a guy sitting there squatting waiting for you, I mean, he's scared and his eyes are big and he's just sitting over there, which I saw a lot, you know. Then you just look ahead, look past him because you're going to run him over and move on. It feels good every time Chiefs will have a good running back emerge and my name is mentioned. Because when I played, I often told people that when I played, I didn't really give it all because I didn't know anything about the game. I was still learning the game, you know. But I did enough for people to remember me, and that makes me feel good. Running game is actually the thing that makes the game. People enjoy seeing a good running game when a game is going on. And the Chiefs tend to provide that year after year.
Don't go away. When Red and Gold returns, it's prime time. As Leon Sandcastle was in the house and we take you behind the scenes.
Andy Reid did a great job in his interview with Leon. I asked him some tough questions and he responded well. So I really feel good about Andy and I feel good about Andy getting Leon. the ball.
This is a pen, not just any pen. This pen doesn't take notes, and it certainly doesn't doodle. The sole purpose of this pen is to make things happen. This is Chiefs General Manager John Dorsey's pen, and it's been pretty busy lately. But don't worry, there's still a little ink left in it for the draft.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. It's less than a month from now until the NFL draft, and the Chiefs are slated to make the first pick. You can almost feel the electricity in the air as people anticipate what moves the team will make. The NFL draft has become more than a selection process, but a huge event. And this year, the NFL is getting in on the action too, with a hilarious Leon Sandcastle campaign starring Deion Sanders. They were in town not too long ago, and on this edition of Access Arrowhead, presented by Prime Sport, we join in on the fun.
Today is a great day. It's a special day, and having Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Leon Sandcastle, here as the first pick in the Chiefs' 2013 draft is just a brilliant idea that's crafted by NFL.com and NFL Network. It's part of the overall Path to Primetime campaign that the NFL Network has had. Obviously, starting with the Super Bowl and then ending up with the draft at the end of April. So we're really pleased to have Deion, a.k.a. Leon, here at the facility today.
Question three.
Rolling. I'm a line producer working with the NFL Network. I work for MRB Productions, and we're here today at the Chiefs training facility to shoot some fun gags with Leon Sandcastle in preparation for the upcoming draft.
Leon is awesome. He has delivered some quality material today. Very impressed with Leon, as everybody is, because he is Leon.
Leon has a question for you. Do you have enough Leon in your life? Because if you don't, bam, I got you covered, baby.
Deion has been so much fun. It's actually too fun. It's almost hard to work with him because when he rolls, he gets going and everyone has to try to hold their laughter so they're not completely ruining it. So he's just been a ton of fun to work with.
Andy Reid did a great job in his interview with Leon. I asked him some tough questions, and he responded well. So I really feel good about Andy, and I feel good about Andy getting Leon the ball. Leon Sandcastle, the kid is amazing, and I like him. I really like him a lot. It's a great campaign, and it's real. Leon's real. You believe in Santa? You believe in Tooth Fairy? Now, how can I believe in Tooth Fairy and not Leon? We've actually seen Leon. We never seen Tooth Fairy. And you want me to believe that Santa gonna come down my chimney in the inner city? We ain't even have a chimney. How about that?
We'll be right back, but first, let's see how well you know Kansas City. Which U.S. president was born in Kansas City? A. John Quincy Adams. B. Harry S. Truman. C. Dwight D. Eisenhower. Or D. Gerald R. Ford. When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Welcome back. Before the break, we asked you, which U.S. president was born in Kansas City? The 33rd president of the United States, Harry S. Truman, was born in Lamar, Missouri in 1884. That's it for today's episode of Red and Gold. Thanks for joining us. If you missed any of the show, or you just want to watch it again, be sure to go to kcchiefs.com and follow me on Twitter at kcchiefs_Rachel to keep up with the Chiefs 24/7. Or check us out on Facebook and Instagram. I'll see you all here next week, same time, same channel. Until then, go Chiefs.
toss power trap.